Now, the crayfish that have taken that are supposedly taking over the world, does this have implications for the human race? Should we be worried here?
It's not one that's likely to happen to us, which is probably a good thing. This is something that's very, very specific to this particular crayfish. It's called the marbled crayfish, and literally is taking over the world. But the incredible thing is, it didn't exist. It literally didn't exist until 25 years ago, right? 1995 was the first time we ever saw this particular crayfish. And since then, just over, 23 years now, that they're now in Germany, Czech Republic, the Ukraine. They've gone to Japan, and they're taken over Madagascar, of all places, you know, the island off Africa as well. So they're absolutely spreading around the world uncontrollably, and it's insane.
So the question, obviously, is how are they getting from Europe to Africa to Asia?
Yeah, so basically what happens, it's a mutant which means that it can clone itself. So all of these, like, millions of crayfish are all clones of each other. So they're very, very, very genetically similar. And what happens is, about 25 years ago, what they think happened is there was a crayfish in a pet shop in Germany, which was bought, and it had this particular mutation, which meant it could clone itself, and it was a female. And what would happen is it would lay eggs, and these particular crayfish can lay like hundreds of eggs at a time. And all those eggs, they didn't need a male to fertilize them. They were completely viable straight from just being laid. So this one crayfish lays a couple of hundred eggs. Those go on to create adult, you know, fully developed crayfish, adult crayfish. Those then lay a couple of hundred eggs, and so on, and they just boom in numbers. So what they think happened is somebody bought this crayfish, put it in an aquarium. It laid a whole bunch of eggs. So they started giving some of these crayfish to their friends. Those then started laying some eggs. And one of the disappointing things about pets is that eventually some of them get, you know, crayfish that get put in a lake or a river, or, you know, cats and dogs sort of get released or whatever. So they get released back into the wild. So they'll probably put it into a lake. They've then boomed in numbers. They can actually walk like a couple of hundred meters to travel from lake to lake or river to river. And they sort of spread that way. They've spread around the world. Other people have collected them, maybe taken them home, grown them themselves. They've been released again. And they just start booming and booming and expanding in numbers like that.
So what is there anything to be learned from their sort of breeding pattern?
Probably, they really are kind of like a freak of nature. A, because they just can, you know, clone themselves in so many numbers. But the way that they actually clone themselves, that it's kind of a little bit unlucky. So essentially, they are a mutant. We're not really sure why it happened. But they have, this particular mutant has three sets of its chromosomes. Now, humans, we've got two sets. And most animals have two sets, but these crayfish have three, which then means when it lays its egg, it's got enough chromosomes that it doesn't actually need a male to come along and provide extra genetic material through its sperm. So that's why they can, you know, clone themselves and produce viable, you know, young and viable eggs so easily. So in terms of what can we learn, probably not a huge amount. It's kind of a novelty, and it is actually a bit of an ecological problem at the moment, because they first have arrived in Madagascar 10 years ago, and they've sort of already taken over the entire island. They're starting to force out like native crayfish species as well. So yeah, in terms of what can we learn genetically, probably not a lot. It's a little bit of a novelty, but we kind of now need to be able to learn how to control their numbers really, really quickly, or else they will spread and take over the entire world.
Are we about to see a drop in price in the crayfish market?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I sort of had a look to see whether or not these were edible, and I'm not 100% sure. I was like, oh, hey, well, yeah, this is, you know, great news for those of us who love shellfish. Not actually sure whether they're edible. I hope they are. It could be fantastic. You know, Madagascar's next export could be delicious, delicious crayfish. But I think that one, we're going to need a little bit more experimentation.
That'll be research for next time.
Yeah.
Ben Lewis from Australia's Science Channel is with us talking the latest research in the science world. Aliens may appear on our radar any day, with scientists all across the globe constantly searching for signs of extraterrestrial life, but how would we react to the news as a species? I think this has formed the basis of a new study.
That's exactly right. I mean, there are scientists, as you said, across a world globe, constantly looking for anything that might be a sign of life on other planets, in other solar systems, in other galaxies around the world. And every now and again, we are finding sort of like little hints. We're finding, you know, planets which have conditions which might support life. We're constantly searching for things like radio signals and all sorts of research going on. If scientists came out tomorrow and said, hey, we think we've found some life on a different planet, the big question has always been, how would people react on hearing that news? And it's literally never been studied before. So some scientists sat down and they found that, in general, people would be pretty cool with it. They'd take it pretty positively.
Just like, chill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, not genuinely. Chill is the perfect word for it. People are actually kind of excited. They'd be positive. They'd be interested. They wouldn't really react with fear or trepidation, anything like that. They'd be like, cool, this is great news. Let's get excited about this.
How do they determine that? Do they just go around and survey people? Like, hey, how do you feel about aliens showing up?
Yeah, so they started off by creating a computer program which can scan and analyze written words and written pieces. And it analyzes it for emotion and context and, you know, messages and the types of words that are being used. So they looked back at a whole range of newspaper articles, you know, over the last sort of 50 years, which dealt with these kinds of discoveries. And what they found is that these newspaper articles, and remember, like, the news media is going to have a huge shaping on the way that we sort of interpret the news, because they're our mouthpiece, really. They found that the news reporting of it used much more positive language than it did negative language. They then took a huge group of people, like 500 people, and asked them to write how they would react to a similar sort of news announcement, and also how they thought other people would react. And they found that people were using a lot more positive language. And then they asked people, a different group of people again, to respond to newspaper articles. So read a newspaper article about a discovery and sort of write a response to that. And again, people were a lot more positive than they were negative about that news. Now, all of these newspaper articles were like, hey, we found a planet which might be able to support life. Hey, we found evidence that there might be like microbial or bacterial life somewhere. None of it was about aliens landed on the, you know, the front lawn of the Parliament House or anything like that. So it's a different scale of news. People would be very positive about bacterial, you know, or basic non-complex life elsewhere. The question, you know, if it actually encountered us here on Earth, that might be a different response.
We might actually have to wait and see. We'll get a real world example, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And I point out, like, completely scientifically, it's far less likely that all of a sudden we're going to encounter complex life from a different planet, you know, and even far less likely again that we're going to, you know, have one land on top of Parliament House on the hill or something like that. I mean, the chances of that happening are so infinitesimally small. If we do find life on a different planet, it is most likely going to be bacterial, microbial, something like that.
Looking at federal politics at the moment, it's possible aliens have already landed on Parliament House.
God, is it ever?